Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the Catholic Church presents to us the great feast of the apostle and evangelist, the first evangelist, Saint Matthew. Little known is known about Saint Matthew except that he was a son of Alphaeus, and it was likely that he was born in Galilee. We know in Scripture he worked as a tax collector, which was the hated profession during the time of Christ our Lord. According to the Gospel, Matthew was working at a collection booth in Capernaum when Christ came to him and asked the beautiful words, "Follow me." With this simple call, Matthew became a disciple of Christ. We see the humility of Matthew in that he records in his own gospel his own name and attaches it at being a public sinner. Why then, we may ask, did Matthew write the first gospel? Matthew itself, the name means in Hebrew, gift of God. He was seeking to show the good news that Jesus of Nazareth, a descendant of David, a descendant of Abraham according to the flesh, virginally conceived in the pure womb of Mary by the working and power of the Holy Spirit, was the Messiah promised in the Old Testament prophecies, that he was the incarnate Son of God, the Savior of mankind, who had come to set men free from the slavery of sin and from eternal death. Matthew, as an eyewitness to the life of Christ, after his calling, wrote the first gospel in Hebrew around the year 42 AD. Mainly he wrote his account for the Hebrews in Palestine converting to Jesus Christ. In virtue of what we call divine inspiration, this sacred book is a collaboration between God and the writer himself. In Dei Verbum, which is the dogmatic constitution on divine revelation, we read, God chose certain men who, all the while he employed them in this task, made full use of their powers and faculties, so that though he acted in them and by them, it was as true authors that they consigned to writing whatever God wanted and no more. In other words, the Holy Spirit, or the finger of God, used St. Matthew and the other evangelists as living and intelligent instruments. He did not suspend their faculties. He did not overpower their wills. It was not a simple dictation, but he raised and applied them to compose the books under divine inspiration, so that everything implied and stated in their writings must be regarded and affirmed and implied by the Holy Spirit. What can we learn today from Matthew? Well, firstly, as Saint Jerome informs us, we can learn the true meaning of mercy as Jesus sits amongst the tax collectors and sinners. He says in the scripture, "Our Lord, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come to call sinners, not the just." Jesus thus went to the feast of sinners as an opportunity to teach them, to give them spiritual food as part of their repentance. The Lord sought their conversion. The gospel also today reveals to us the call of Jesus Christ for each person. Matthew himself was a clerk in a tax office. Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. The Lord knows us all and can call whoever he wills. We read the beautiful words in Psalm 146. He counts the number of stars and calls each by name. The Holy Gospel tells us that those whom Jesus called included young men and older men, fishermen and day laborers, white-collar workers and unemployed job seekers. Our Lord will not be overruled by anyone. He calls with sovereign love and freedom. He calls whomever he wills, when he wills, and as he wills. When God calls one to a more perfect state, he expects prompt obedience to his call, like we read in the Gospel account today in Matthew. Otherwise, such a one will deserve the reproach that our Lord administered to the young man spoken in the Gospel. Remember the words, "I will follow thee, Lord," said the young man, "but let me first take my leave of them who are in my house." And Jesus replied, "No man putting his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The lights which God gives are transient, not permanent gifts. To know whether God calls you to the religious life, you need not to expect that God himself will appear to you or send an angel from heaven to make known his will. Nor is it necessary that a dozen or more learned men examine to see if the vocation should be followed or not. It is necessary, however, to correspond with the first movement of the inspiration and to cultivate it. Nor does it matter much from what the source the inspiration comes. The Lord himself makes use of many means to call his servants. We read in the Gospel account, St. Paul had the greatest conversion in the Catholic Church. He fell off his horse, and he knew immediately when he was told what to do. Many times our vocation calling to a state in life is just the breath of the Holy Spirit and a simple suggestion. Sometimes the calling is through a sermon, at other times a good book. Some, as St. Anthony and St. Francis, were called when hearing the words of the Gospel. Others were moved to leave the world and enter religion by the troubles and afflictions they had to endure. Persons who come to God through disgust for the world sometimes become greater saints than those who enter religion with a more apparent vocation. Why? Because they give themselves to God with their whole heart and soul. What must we learn again from the Gospel today, perhaps to delve more deeply into the power of the Holy Word of God? We should often speak to those around us of the Word of God, because perhaps they have never heard this word before, and if you speak the Word of God to these souls, also on the street, the Word can penetrate their hearts. It is the Holy Spirit which will penetrate their hearts and souls. Perhaps when we can marvel at the Word of God, and the whole teaching today can be encapsulated in a beautiful verse, which is in the Gospel of St. John. Chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. You will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let us put this holy word of God into practice, so that when our Savior asks us each day, as we read in Matthew chapter 16, "Who do you say that I am?" we may respond also with confidence, "You are Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus calls us out of love. Jesus loves us with an infinite love. He is infinitely happy because he is infinite love. He desires too that we too attain his infinite happiness. Jesus gazes with infinite love on the one he would call. The mysterious call, for it is a mystery, the call to a vocation and state of life, which is known only to him. Let us imitate then today the evangelist St. Matthew, who obeyed so promptly, so that our generosity may be rewarded, as Jesus reminds us. "You have left all things and followed me. You shall receive 100-fold and shall possess life everlasting." Let us finally announce our daily fiat with the continual fiat, "Thy will be done," of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Queen and Mother, and consecrate our state of life to her, whose beauty is beyond description, and listen closely to the word that calls us to our state of life. so that one day, brothers and sisters in Christ, we may possess the Word himself with Mary in our heavenly paradise. Amen. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.